Would you make standing if you're able and turning your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 11. We're going to be reading from 38 through 45. 38 through 45. John 11, starting with verse 38. Now hear God's word. So Jesus, again being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha and the sister of the deceased said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you would always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him. As far as the reading, let's pray. Our Father God, we thank you again for drawing us to yourself, for giving us a sense of your truth and understanding through your word. We ask, Lord, that you would bless your servant as he would proclaim the truth. We ask, Father, that we would be mindful of our duty to be not only hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And Father, would you bless us to serve you well and faithfully as we hear your truth proclaimed? Please bless your servant as he does so, grant him a fidelity and joy and a convicting power. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated.
Well, please have your Bibles open to John 11, 38, 45. John 11, 38, 45. As we consider this miracle of Jesus, you can take all kinds of lessons from a passage like this. But there's one that strikes me as important. It's the fact that death is a scary prospect to many people. Even among Christians, death can be a scary prospect. We believe in Jesus. We believe we're going to heaven to be with him when we die. We believe that, most of us anyway, with all our heart. But we dread the idea of death. Well, that's natural. That's a good thing, because death is the curse of God on the human race for Adam's fall. But we dread the idea. We avoid the subject, even as believers, and some of us are even afraid to talk about that because of a nagging concern, which I'll express this way. What if I'm wrong about my salvation? What if I'm wrong about believing in Jesus saving me from death? As one ages, one's thoughts about death become more concrete, and they become very sober indeed. Death can take on the guise of an enemy that you dread. Some of the giants of the faith have died crying out in fear that they were lost. You can read a Christian biography sometimes and be surprised by that. How would you counsel someone, I wonder, who is afraid of death? May I humbly suggest that this passage should be carefully meditated upon? For Jesus found the whole subject of his death by crucifixion sobering, even fearful to say the least. It's not sinful to be afraid of death, unless that fear comes from a lack of faith. But if you turn to Luke with me to Luke 22, 39 to 44, I'll support that statement. Luke 22, 39 through 44. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and you know the passage I'm going to be reading. Jesus came out and proceeded as was his custom to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed him. When he arrived at the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, "Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." We know he prayed that three times from the other Gospels. And Luke adds, "Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground." But tell me Jesus wasn't fearful. Don't tell me he was not anxious. He was not simply so. He knew the course the Father had him set upon. He trusted in the resurrection. But death sobered him. He understood that this was the curse that he was to bear for the people he came to die for. But John reminds us that Jesus faced that death that night in Gethsemane, and in the case of Lazarus who had died, he conquered death right there in Bethany. Remember, death is the wages of sin, and we must pay. There's not a human being on earth that does not or has not paid for their sin, the wages of sin, death. And Lazarus has made his statement in verse 14. Lazarus, our friend, has died, Jesus informs his disciples. But watch and see how Jesus faced and conquered death. Look at the first such a setting of Jesus' encounter with death. He faced death with sobriety, not sinful fear, but soberly. Beginning of verse 38. Beginning of verse 38 in our text. So Jesus, again being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. That was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. And understand that Jesus wept when Mary spoke to him. He wept for his friend Lazarus and the pain of his two friends, Mary and Martha. He wept for mankind in general, cursed with death because of the sin. He wept over the fall and its dreadful effects on the human race. He was deeply moved, it says here, not afraid, but sober. And he came to do combat with death. Remember, he was already anticipating his own approaching death. He could not have failed to make the connection. And this moment would only heighten that. To whatever extent he was thinking about his own death, he's dealing with death. And remember also that death was his imposed curse. It was he who cursed man for his failure to obey him. He who cursed man for eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This was his curse placed on the human race as the creator. But he came to this moment to begin to undo death for those who would believe in him. The Father's glory was the main issue. Remember verse 40? Did I not say to you, he tells Mary, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? The glory of God was the thing at issue. That's what he said in verse 4. The sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God. That was the issue. And Lazarus suffered the curse, but Jesus came to remove it. Verses 23 and 25 earlier in the passage. Listen. "Your brother will rise again," he says to Martha. And Martha says, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." He's come to raise Lazarus, something Martha and Mary were not expecting him to do. And thus his demeanor was serious, full of awe, full of dread. He was fully human after all. He understood the seriousness of the situation he was in. And again, Jesus came with a sober mind, again, likely anticipating his own death. And he respected the curse. He respected the justice of that curse. And he understood that it had fallen on Lazarus and killed him. But he knew this would not be his last encounter with death. And his sense of purpose was clear. In verse 40 we read, Jesus said to Martha when she objected to the removal of the stone, did I not say to you that if you believe you will see the glory of God? He knows what he's going to do. He knows the glory of God will be seen in what he's about to do. And we do well. We do very well when we take that seriously, when we face that soberly, as we should, whether it's our own death or the death of others. We need to take death seriously. We need to show respect to the God who imposed the curse. We need to have respect for the fact that we are subject to death, that we deserve to die eternally, that we deserve to be judged by God and sent to hell, to the eternal lake of fire. In the end, because of our sin, we need to have respect when we talk about death. But I want you to turn then next to see how Jesus conquered death with just three commands. He conquered death with just three commands. And the first command was, take away the stone. Verse 39a. Martha objects. Lord, he's this now. It's 4 days. Remember I told you last week that there was a legend or a theory that for 3 days the soul would stay near the tomb in hopes of being reunited with the body, but by the fourth day the soul was gone. And then scientifically speaking, the body would begin to deteriorate, and rightfully she says, he stinks by now. We're all going to be made sick if we take away the stone. And that's when the Lord says to her, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? He reminds her of his promise. And Jesus is firm on the point. And so they obey him. Beginning of verse 41. So they remove the stone. And the combat begins. Combat with death begins, and it begins with thanksgiving. And Jesus raised his eyes, and notice he doesn't ask God to do anything now, but he gives thanks. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it, so that they may believe that you sent me. Clearly, he asked the Lord for the ability to raise this man from the dead. We ask the Father for that. He doesn't do anything without the Father doing it first. And so he asks, and the Father says, go ahead. Though we don't hear the words, that's what happened. First command, take away the stone. And they obey him. The second command, Lazarus, come forth! Because he wanted the crowd to come with Mary to hear him. They wanted the crowd that came with Mary to comfort her to hear him. They wanted them to hear the cry of command, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus obeys. The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. This man is now alive. The battle is won. Death is undone. And the curse has been removed from Lazarus. That's why he's alive. He had no choice but to obey. Because the master of death was there. The victor over death was there and gave the command. And then he gives the third command. Unbind him. Take off the wrappings from his face, from his body, and his arms and his feet. Unbind him. They do it. And the curse on Adam's son Lazarus is removed. For now, he will, of course, die again later on, though we don't read of that death in Scripture. And the victory is made complete in that it includes many Jews believing into Jesus. And that's the way to translate verse 44b. Verse 45. Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed into him. That's the Greek. They were united to him by faith. They believed at last this was the Messiah. This was God come in the flesh who had come to save his people. They believed into him. They were now one with him in heart. They were now later to be called Christians after Jesus rose from the dead. That was the capstone of this victory over death. And in these things that we've seen, we're taught the way to face our own death, deaths, and our fears or anxieties that we might have. This is what we're taught. First, connect this passage with the rest of the New Testament. I want you to turn with me to just three passages. First, turn to Romans chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. I have you turn rather than just read them to you. I want you to turn with me, because if you're at all nervous or anxious about that, I want you to have the tools to combat that fear. Romans chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Paul writes, therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. He's saying, among other things, when Christ returns, you will rise like he did. Death is not the final sentence. It's not the final thing that will happen in your eternal life. It's but the entering into the glory of God in heaven. Death is not the end for the believer in Jesus. Yes, we respect it. Yes, I understand the fear. But it's not the end. And you need to understand that. Then turn with me to just one verse, 2 Corinthians 13:4. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4. And speaking of Jesus here, 2 Corinthians 13 verse 4. For indeed he, Jesus, was crucified because of weakness, yet he lives because of the power of God. The power of God that raised him, you see. For we also are weak in him, yet we will live with him because of the power of God directed toward you. The same power that raised Lazarus from the dead will raise you from the dead when Jesus returns. When you die, you'll go to him and be with him in spirit. But in the resurrection, your spirit and soul, your body and soul, will be joined as one again with a perfect body and a perfect soul forever in glory. You will rise again. That's Jesus' promise, not mine. That's the promise of the Word of God. And then finally, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. Listen to God's word. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, in that bed, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. That's what should distinguish you from the rest of the world. Yes, you're anxious about death, but the rest of the world is terrified and with good reason if they don't believe in Jesus. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep, those who have died in Jesus. For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep, will not precede those who have died. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we always be with the Lord. And Paul wisely adds, therefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. My beloved, you don't need to be afraid of death. You don't need to be afraid if you've repented of your sin and believed in Jesus. You don't need to be afraid of death. It's natural, normal, but you don't have to stay there. You don't have to dwell in the shadow of death with fear and trembling. Because Christ's curse took away death from your life. And when Christ returns, you too will be raised from the dead. But unlike Lazarus, you will never again die. While in this life, the person's sin still has its effects, aging, fear, sickness and death, and sinful habits, Christ has canceled this judicial effects. Sins, your sins are forgiven, and you are united with him. You're a beloved son or daughter of the Father, sealed in that position by the Holy Spirit. You really have no grounds to fear if you are in Christ and trusting in his death and resurrection for your sin. Yes, you may have some anxiety over death. That's natural, and God will not condemn you for that. And I am partaker with you, as are many saints in this life, of the anxiety that is natural regarding our coming time to die physically. That is normal. The way to deal with that, though, is to set your eyes on Christ and his embrace of you as his friend and redeemed saint. Confess your anxiety and your fears to him. Pray about them. Be sure to ask Jesus to relieve your fear when you feel it. And then set your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. The key question really is this one, isn't it? Have you believed in Jesus Christ, crucified for your sin, and raised for your justification, and acceptance by his Father as a beloved son or daughter? Have you done that? Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and you are a sinner. But if you are trusting in Jesus, your sin is no longer an issue with God. If you are afraid of death, anxious about what is coming, who knows when, then repent of your sins and trust in Jesus as your Savior and your only hope of death being undone in your life. You must trust in Jesus for that to happen. Why not come to him now with me in prayer and ask him to save you? Or if you already trust him, ask him to assure you of his salvation. Shalom. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you that Jesus is risen from the dead.